Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
To Deadly Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. All right, going to catch up a yarn now. We've got Luke Winnetong come to join us. He's a community relations with Queensland Human Rights Commission, and we're talking about especially for our mob, protection for our mob, Aboriginal people, Torres Strait Islander people, in the Act, and that's S28. Welcome to the program, Luke. Very good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Trev. Thanks for having me.
Now, too, Dad, bro. Thank you for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
I'm based here in Cairns, been in Cairns for a while. I got lots of family up here, but my mob's Cubby Cubby, so down southeast Queensland.
Okay, brother, yep.
I was born in Gladstone as well, so there's a Winnetong Street in Gladstone.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've got mob.
Named after you, Luke.
Yeah, not me, but
I'll claim it.
Yeah. But from mostly from southeast Queensland, our mob, yeah.
Good,
but,
okay,
we got South Sea as well.
Yes, connection there, yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, Queensland Human Rights Commission, we're talking about your position, community relations. How long have you been in that role?
Just over a year, maybe a year and a few months, yeah.
All right, fantastic. Yep. And we're talking about highlighting the protections of, especially for our mob, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, in the Act S28. So, give us a bit of background in that, please.
Yeah, well, and that's why it's good to talk and get the message out to mob, is that the Human Rights Act in Queensland is very new. Mm-hmm. So you can only people can only come to us at the commission and make a complaint about limitations to their human rights as of this year, so from 1st of January 2020. So it's very new. But the key thing about it...
That's very new, that First Nation people can come directly to Human Rights Commission.
Yeah, in Queensland.
Okay.
So about human rights. So before that, we had the Anti-Discrimination Act that people could come to us. We were called the Anti-Discrimination Commission before last year.
Okay.
So now we're the Human Rights Commission, but now mob can come to us and complain about their human rights. For example, with COVID, we got a lot of calls around freedom of movement with the restrictions into communities and things like that.
You.
So Switch they're covered now in Queensland.
Okay.
The mob are covered. But the best thing about this act... And even like in the preamble, if I just read a bit out of the preamble. So this is right at the start of the brand new Human Rights Act.
Yep.
And it says in the preamble, although human rights belong to all individuals, human rights have a special importance for Aboriginal peoples and Torres Strait Islander peoples of Queensland as Australia's first people, with their distinctive and diverse spiritual, material and economic relationship with the lands, territories, waters, coastal seas and other resources. And also it finishes with, of particular significance to Aboriginal peoples and Torres Strait Islander peoples of Queensland is the right to self-determination.
Yes.
So that's a start, and it's very progressive, I might say, for Queensland, is to have...
leading from the front, because other states and territories are doing this?
Yeah, well, we're the first to specifically name and have specific protections for our Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people in the Act, in the human rights legislation. There's two other jurisdictions in Australia, so Victoria and the ACT have human rights legislation, but we're the first to specifically name and protect, and one of the first in the world to specifically name and protect our, in Section 28, like you said, our protections for our Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people, cultural protections.
Yes, exactly. And you mentioned the powerful word there, culture, because we are strong with our culture, and it's different to, mainstream culture, so to speak, you know, the non-Indigenous culture. And so that's got to be at the table in regard to rules and regulations and how we operate under the so-called LAW and for our mob with LORE, yes?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and as I said, the Human Rights Act is very new, so it's a lot of it's yet to be tested. We've received complaints, obviously, this year, But a lot of that stuff and the protections in Section 28 are yet to be tested, but they will be. And you know, like, as much as it's not a good thing that we're getting complaints at the commission, I think it's good that we get the message out there that mob in Queensland do have specific protections. And even if I can read out a couple of the things out of the Act around it,
please.
And so you can see some of the language around it. So Section 28 of the Act says cultural rights for Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander peoples. So Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander peoples must not be denied the right with other members of their community to enjoy, maintain, control, protect and develop their identity and cultural heritage, including traditional knowledge, distinctive spiritual practices, observances, beliefs and teachings. So there's some of that language, and there's heaps more in there. I won't read them all out.
Sure.
But one of the key ones I wanted to talk about or mention was there's language protections in there, but there's also the right to not be denied enjoyment, maintain, controlling, protect and develop kinship ties as well. So as you can see, like, there is a lot of, like, it's very broad protections in there for Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people. And the last point in there that I wanted to raise was, and I'll read it. It says Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander peoples have the right not to be subjected to forced assimilation or destruction of their culture.
Yes. Powerful.
Yes. Very powerful. Powerful. Yeah,
very
but,
powerful.
But because it's new, it's kind of yet to be tested yet. But
okay, when you say it's new, so it's all been passed. This is the new rights as in Section 28.
Yep.
Now with the Queensland Human Rights Commission.
Yep.
But it's yet to be, acted on.
Yes.
And then see the ramifications of that
exactly.
Act.
Exactly. And with law, when we talk about, and when I say tested, it means that complaints are yet to, we have received complaints, but complaints are yet to have gone through the process of having an outcome.
Sure.
As of yet.
And so then the outcome could, you could say, highlight, how you say, potholes in the so-called journey or the road ahead.
Yeah.
That we may, well, the Queensland Human Rights Commission may have to alter that there again. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Trial and error?
Yes, exactly. And one thing I forgot to mention was the Human Rights Act protects our people in their dealings with state government. So when we're talking about this Human Rights Act, it's just for Queensland, but it's in your dealings with state government or what's called functional public entities. So they're organisations that basically are funded by state government to do a job for the state government.
Sure.
So they might be like a social housing provider and that. They're going to have human rights obligations as well.
Yes.
As well as your state schools. The big ones might be Queensland Police, Queensland Health and Education Queensland. Obviously the biggest ones that we have received the most, let's just say, inquiries about.
Sure, exactly, you know. But it is a so-called step-by-step process. As you go, you see, by a mile, trial, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, the potholes for the journey ahead may pop up.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the job for Queensland Human Rights Commission is to smooth that road. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is.
Because things will pop up that's unforeseen circumstances and that was sort of forgotten in the so-called Section 28. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And things will pop up, and things like COVID popped up.
Exactly.
And then, like I said, I was getting calls from, I probably shouldn't mention the communities, but communities all around far north wanting to talk about, hey, where's my freedom of movement? I know that there's a new, so mob do know about it.
Yeah.
We need to get the message out more, but saying that there's a Human Rights Act and it protects freedom of movement, but how come I'm not allowed in or out of my community when I can see on TV or I can hear about people at Bunnings or people at, you know, in mainstream communities just congregating or going to football matches or whatever.
Whatever,
so where's my freedom of movement? That sort of thing.
Exactly.
So things
which
will
is
pop
a
up.
Fair question.
Yes, exactly.
And a right for an individual to ask a question and seek an answer.
Yes, exactly. And you know, that's kind of what we're there for. Like, we have an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander unit at the commission.
Okay.
And that's part of our thing, is to try and help get the awareness out there, but to build a culture. And a lot of the training I do is about building a culture in the public sector,
good.
So in government departments, about respect for human rights and the knowledge of human rights.
Yep.
But another important thing that we're there for is to, because as you know, for Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander people get discriminated against.
Of course.
We know that, and that's historically
that's
happened.
Yep, exactly.
And they don't complain to us. We do get complaints, but We know that it's hard for mob to come
so
into.
So you also, let's interrupt there, Luke, yeah. but you're also saying to our mob out there, if you feel as though that you've been discriminated against or, you know, or human rights is an issue, ask the question, come to us.
Yes.
Because there could be, like you said, a pothole there that we haven't covered yet.
Yes.
And we need to cover it.
Yes, exactly.
For the sake of human rights.
Exactly, exactly. Or discrimination, and the Anti-Discrimination Act still continues, and you can complain about that, and that protects race.
Yeah.
And it specifically names colour, you know, like black, it says in there, you know, like those things are protected. But yes, definitely, people need to come. Come into our, I'm in Cairns, so come into our office at 10 Grove Street and just have a discussion.
Sure.
They can ring us, ring me, they can ring the General Inquiries line and they'll get put through to our, you know, myself or my colleague in the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander unit.
So Queensland Human Rights Commission, they have an office at all the major cities in the state?
So here in Cairns, Townsville, Rocky and Brisbane head office.
Okay. And does the rules vary in regards to other states and territories?
Yes. So in terms of the Human Rights Act, so as I said, Victoria have Human Rights Act legislation, ACT does as well, but with those two states or territories, they don't have a complaint process.
Sure.
So you can't, so again, what I said was Queensland's very progressive in terms of people can
leading
complain.
Away. Yes. Leading away, brother.
They can complain to us, but in those other states and territories, it has to be attached to a court case.
Yeah, gotcha.
So something like that.
So what about the national Human Rights Commission? Wouldn't they have a say in this?
They do, and that's for federal. So, for example, if mob have a problem with Centrelink here in Cairns, you can't complain to us about it. You have to complain to
being a national organisation.
Exactly. So the Australian Human Rights Commission, and they deal with a lot of that the international human rights stuff.
Sure.
So I know they're involved in things like Palm Island and things like that, because the Human Rights Act for Queensland wasn't around then.
So with the new Act, Section 28, in the Queensland Human Rights Commission, added to, that would then fall under the national in regards to the commission?
Yeah. Well,
rules and regulation changes and what have you.
Yes. Well, it's very... It affects... So this Human Rights Act that we're talking about affects people in Queensland.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's only
right.
for protections for people in Queensland.
Well, I think the other territories in state, and if not the national, should take a page out of your book, so to speak, Section 28.
Exactly. Exactly.
And add it into theirs.
Exactly. Exactly. And so hopefully, Victoria and the ACT were first. Ours is a bit more progressive. So hopefully the Northern Territory maybe might be next, or Western Australia, who knows? So hopefully everyone continues to build on it.
Well, to me, it's, I say KISS, keep it simple, Spunky, positive man I am. It needs to be that way inclined. If it works here in this state, it should template across the country, I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is the start. This is the beginning. This is fantastic. I'm a Queensland man. I'm living in Queensland. And it's great news.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic, brother.
Yeah, no, I'm excited about it. So feel free to come down and have a chat or give us a call and, we can help you out.
Yep, fantastic, my brother. All right, beautiful. So getting educated, that's what it's all about, Queensland Human Rights Commission. And brother Luke Winnetong, he says, give the brother a call, you know. He's keen to have a yarn with you and set you on the right path, so to speak. Thank you for your yarn, my brother. Good to catch up with you. The Winnetong family, very deadly. I was yarning with Joel, Dr. Joel. So he's cousin to you?
Cousin, yes.
Yep, brother. Yeah. And, his sister's Naomi, of course, the singer.
Yep.
So
so
what about you, brother? You jam, you sing,
I do.
You shake booty? What do you do, brother?
I try and sing at home with the kids, but nah, I play a bit of guitar, but I'm not Joel, Uncle Mark.
Uncle Mark.
And
Mark,
Dr.
Mark,
Joel and Dr. Naomi, Joel, yeah. They're all, well, they call themselves musicians before they call themselves doctors.
Okay,
they're
there
mob,
you go.
So but I'm definitely not up at that level, but I'm more into running.
Running.
I do a lot of running for marathons and things like that.
Deadly,
silly,
brother.
Silly fella. But anyway.
No, that's not silly fella. That's deadly, brother. That's deadly. All right, two deadly. Beautiful yarn with you, Luke. Good to catch up with you. You take care, my brother. Big shout out to the mob there, Queensland Human Rights Commission here in Cairns.
Thanks.
And your family, stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Thank you.
Too deadly. A beautiful yarn there, Luke Winnetong, Community Relations, Queensland Human Rights Commission. And so there he say there's, a new sheriff in town, but there's a new state, new act in town. And that's the Section 28, and it's protecting, especially for our mob, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples, in the act and regarding how we operate as in culture. Well, it's fantastic that Queensland are leading the way, and Queensland State of Origin bringing that to the table. But it should take a page out of their book in regards to other states and territories, in regard to looking after our First Nation people. We're the longest living culture on the planet Earth. You know that. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Yarn Up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. BBM, Bumbabrit Media, 9.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
A very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Aboriginal throwing sticks used hundreds of years ago will be analysed using nuclear research techniques. Today, original tools used by the ancestors of the Yandarawandra and the Yarrawarra traditional owners from South Australia were delivered for examination using nuclear research techniques at ANSTO. ANSTO is Australia's Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation. We're going to catch up a yarn there with the scientist, Dr. Vladimir Levchenko, to talk about this research on the line. Doctor, very good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, very exciting news in regarding the study and the analysing of nuclear research techniques being used for Aboriginal throwing sticks. So tell us how this all came about. Were you approached by government or traditional owners? How did the first start the conversation, please?
Well, originally when the sticks were found by the rangers in the Coopers Creek dry bed, the traditional owners were notified, and then the Aboriginal Corporation, together with the archaeologists who worked with them, approached us as a government agency to help investigate these objects. We set up a special grant application, and it was approved, and now we can use the government facilities at ANSTO for these studies, which would be radiocarbon dating using the accelerator mass spectrometry, and the X-ray scanning using the special iTrax machine, which can scan like a CT scan with a very high precision and accuracy these objects to determine its internal structure and chemical composition.
And so with the method that you're using, I don't know, Doctor, what do you look to find? What do you think that you'll find?
Well, I hope to determine the age, so it will give us some information of how they got in the creek, because there are different scenarios. They could be brought by a flood, they could be redeposited from elsewhere, or could be relatively recently placed in there. Plus, we obviously will determine what is the wood and how they were made of.
Yes.
And what is the whereabouts, because we will see the composition of the soil attached to them and the wood itself, so we can work out the history of that somehow.
Fantastic. So with you being a scientist at ANSTO, which is Australia's Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation, have you ever done this sort of work before in regard to Aboriginal artefacts or throwing sticks?
Well, I once worked with a spear from Arnhem Land. We were dating the wooden spear.
Mm.
That was a few years ago. But never we did the X-ray scanning and never worked on the throwing sticks, whatever. But I worked a lot on rock art.
Yes.
We were dating a lot of rock art from Kimberley, from Arnhem Land. That's we involved heavily.
And with those findings, for example, what did you find when using that method with the Arnhem Land people?
For the spear, you mean?
Or yes.
With the rock art?
Yeah, with the rock art. I mean, we get your findings and the same sort of findings you could find with the throwing sticks there in South Australia, I presume.
Well, for the rock art, we found, like, you know, we determined the period when some of these styles existed. The X-ray style, the northern running figures existed, so it's put on, like, you know, 10,000 years back, some of the rock art style. The wooden spear was relatively modern, because obviously the wooden artifacts do not survive very long on the surface.
Yes.
And that was one of the puzzles with these throwing sticks. Were they really old or very or relatively modern? Because if they were buried in the creek underwater, they can be significantly older than just sitting on the surface. But that will tell us about the creek history as well. It means that there was much more water in
the
olden times. Yeah.
So has the research started on these Aboriginal throwing sticks, or is it underway?
Yes, it is underway. Currently, they are being scanned by this X-ray system, and we already took tiny samples for radiocarbon analysis to determine the age of them. We hope within a couple of months we will finish.
Couple of months. Okay, good, good. So I'd love to have a conversation with you in a couple of months' time and find out the outcome.
Yeah, you are welcome.
Beautiful. Hey, nice talking with you. Thank you very much for sharing, Doctor. All the best to you and your team there, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much. A beautiful yarn there. Scientist, Dr. Vladimir Levchenko. He's from ANSTO, the Australian Nuclear Science and Technology Organisation, who will be analysing using nuclear research techniques on Aboriginal throwing sticks found there in South Australia. And the rangers there found with their archaeologists found these throwing sticks, and they approached ANSTO and they found government funding to do the research and look another way of finding the existence of our mob and how long they've been operating on this planet Earth and on the Big Island, Australia. Have your say, Jan Armstrong. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Jan, with yours truly. Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from McCurry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So give the Murray call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. 1-800-422-416.
mission. This magic potion's got me seeing visions. It got me dreaming about this sacred place. I run now, or should I face my fate? See, but look in your eyes, find it hard to believe it just came to life. It's got me mesmerized, hypnotized. Well, this is ancient art, it will never die. Well, this is ancient art, and it will never die. Never die. Rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. Rainforest warrior, get down, down, down. Rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. Rainforest warrior, listen to that sound, sound, sound.
Rope down the back street, police trying to trace me the same way they did the DJ Hickey. Pull me over, hit me up for identity, questioning me about my credibility. With the pen and the pad and the badge, looking down on me, I give it back. I taste of the medicine to make him think that this boy's hot. I'm shaking the spot, I ain't leaving the spot. Whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not,
whether you like it or not, whether you like it or not. Ooh yeah, a rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior, a rainforest warrior. Get down, 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 rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. Warrior, and listen to that sound, sound, sound.
Having it to mission. This magic potion got me seeing visions. It got me dreaming about this sacred place. I run now, or should I face my fate? See, but look in your eyes, find it hard to believe as this came to life. It got me mesmerized, it got me hypnotized. Well, this is ancient art, it'll never die. Well, this is ancient art, and it will never die. Never die. A rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. A rainforest warrior, get down, down, down. Rainforest warrior, the ancient warrior. A rainforest warrior, and listen to that sound, sound, sound.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National
Talk Black, your big yarning service, BBM 98.7. I remember the day. A shy black boy who came to the city to learn about life, and now his people lost their lives. Like
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
To Deadly Mob, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray call if you want to have your say in Yarn Up Strong. We come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Let's have a yarn, you mob. We're going to catch up now. We've got Tony Gibbs on the line. Tony, good morning. How are you?
I'm okay, Trevor. Yourself?
I'm well. Yep. I'm well, my brother. How are you travelling? All right?
Yeah, I've been having a rest from all that stuff about the green patch.
Yes.
And I've just been having a rest from it. And I listened to the first guy to come on there. What's his name?
Dr. Luke. Brother Luke. Luke Winnetong.
Yeah. And the Queensland used to be anti-discrimination,
yes,
and the Human Rights Commission. And, mate, the racism in the system is so terrible. I see they put a Murray in there as a buffer zone, and there's a lot of government propaganda going on and not much grassroots stuff. And everything he said, there wasn't one word that sort of said anything about the rights to the local Yidingi mob to have access to the site on the Mulgrave River in front of the pyramid, which obviously...
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the new rule that came into place across the state.
Yeah, but it all sounds the same with different words and stuff. And my problem is when me and Donna went, we used to try and get the new incentive scream and get a business afloat. But when you're black and white and trying to fill in the forms for things, oh, I can't go to him because I'm a white man, so to say. in people in my position, and there's a lot of multicultural relationships. And I've talked to every member of the community. No one, only one person said, "Do you think that's a bit harsh?" You know. No one said anything to me, Trev, and they all agree. I was in the cemetery talking to Murray. If I'm not getting ditched, mate, because I was recording some stuff and I found I was ditched out, and I don't know what I'm saying wrong. But he's the local Gordonville councillor, and he said on the television, I'm mentioning stations, that they planned to shut it. Now, there's people been...
Planned to shut what, sorry, Tone?
To shut the rest area. You know, the camping area is the council thing, but they've shut the rest area, and you have to get through the gate in the rest area to go to the back gate, which goes down to the river by car. Now, yesterday I was happy to see, I come past this, there's a pipe that goes across the river there, it's Cairns Water Supply.
Mm.
And I was happy to see a big person teaching some little kid to walk across that pipe. I know Murray's are going down. But, you know, they're killing that riverbank, what they're doing. And in the summer, you know, that fellow said assimilation is a crime, which is the truth, which we've always adhered to in land rights. That sometime in the summertime, some of them families want to get out of the house and don't be assimilated. Yeah, they can be assimilated, for, you know, but Murray got to get, you know, that connection to country. And that's what that place is, that river.
Mm. Exactly.
Between the rest area and further up. And there's so many other places like Jubalong, the cane farmers have fenced off. And we've got all this civilization nibbling away at the rainforest and the people's rights like the virus, mate. It is the virus on Earth, you know. It is a virus, what's happening. And I know there's a lot of silence and sometimes it's too much.
But I can understand your frustration. I mean, young ones are going down there riding motorbikes, so to speak. You mentioned before, and people can't have access to going down to the riverbank, and like I said, they're having races down there. Who polices that?
It's ATVs, and then they all got their fancy gear and they're training kids, and they unload trucks and they come down. Then nighttime, there's these like trucks, big four-wheel drives, and they're racing up the river and going down somewhere, and they're coming up and they're coming up where the Murrays used to camp there sometimes.
Mm.
They've made this big dipper there, and you can go at night time and see the lights going up and down in the air. And if you're down there fishing, mate, it's terrifying.
Yes.
And I see Murray's still walking down there, and I'm glad that I think that there's talk around the Murrays are starting to stand their ground and still go down there. But after dark, it's dangerous.
Yes.
Because we know, the green patch has to change for this whole community. It's a disgrace. It's as racist as anything can be, masonly, coldly calculated and done to segregate people from their rights.
Yes. And seems like we've fallen on deaf ears, mate.
Yeah, but I'm not. The whole nation's listening, so it's Cairns' disgrace, mate. Now, I can think like that too. I'm not flogging a dead horse. I'm not a dead horse yet.
Mm.
I'm still breathing.
Fight the good fight, brother. Yep.
Fight the fight, and I'm just saying the green patch is an ongoing situation. As he said on TV, it floods in half an hour. That's ridiculous.
Mm.
And all them people down there look after each other. There's people there now. The police in Cairns said, I go to Gordonbury, can't camp in Cairns. They went out there and they took the plates off their registered van and left them. Police, it's just turned into something like a nightmare. That
exactly.
I know so much, and everybody's coming to me. Like, I haven't got a newspaper. I do it, you know.
Mm.
I just got this show, the Gourtville. Oh, it's quiet, mate. Oh, you can hear all the insects here.
That's what we're looking for, right? That's what we're looking for. No, motorbike sounds.
It's not just motorbikes. It's
closed off to locals.
Well, we used to be able to go down under the bridge and they had a stumped area. So we used to be able to fire in the riverbank and have a fire there and eat turtles. But anyway, they put these stumps in. So you don't go right on the riverbank, that's far enough. And there was a little car parking area there.
Yeah.
They need to put that back and put the stumps up to the pipeline at least so people can walk and. Calculated way to just deprive people of their land and their rights.
Yes.
And there's a job for that fella in Cairns, and I haven't got time to ruin. There's other people who can do it.
Yeah, brother. Enjoy your rest, Tony, and we'll yarn soon. That's Tony Gibbs there. Talk about the green patch and very passionate about it. Something needs to be done, but like I said, he's fighting a good fight and he's not dead yet and the fight is strong. Stay tuned to your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We are the boys in the water and the road. Fly, Gloria, love, fly. Come
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your saber calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, the Darug language revival bolstered by new dictionary. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Patricia Aldis from the Darug people on the line. Patricia, good morning, my sister. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
I belong to the Brindjiyuin people of Maria on the far south coast of New South Wales.
We're fantastic.
Speaking people.
Yes.
30 major tribal groups make up our people.
Mm-hmm. And look, a very big footprint, a very deadly footprint. This is really beautiful, this story about the Darug language being revived. So tell us about the dictionary, how it came about, and the input from our elders and from the people of the land.
The dictionary came about as a result of my sister, Kerry Boyenga. She's a teacher, and she went to the principal of the school that she worked at and asked if they could teach the local Aboriginal language there. He said, if you can get enough of it together and get it, verified, then, yeah, absolutely. He was a very supportive principal.
I was just going to say that being very supportive and open-minded and open heart and good spirit in allowing for your sister Kerry to run with it.
Oh, absolutely. And my brother Wayne Donovan worked at the school at the same time, and both Kerry and Wayne got a grant from the Board of Studies and were assisted by a number of different linguists to help to research the language and talk with community and recover as much of our language as we possibly could. We started off with about 30 words.
Yes.
That grew to 300 words. Then it now is 730 words in the published dictionary. But we had a lot of support from community, a lot of support from linguists, a lot of support from different people along the way. Browley Public School actually formed a partnership with the local Aboriginal Land Council, Kabarra Local Aboriginal Land Council.
Yes.
And through the Land Council, we were able to get another grant that actually transported the elders by bus to sit in on the classes while the language was being taught.
Beautiful.
And then as a result of the success of that, the Browley Public School and Kabarra Land Council formed a three-way partnership with TAFE New South Wales, or it was Illawarra TAFE at the time, and they started to present the Certificate 1 in Aboriginal languages.
Mm.
And a little bit further on, we now have about 160 people who have done the Certificate 1 in Aboriginal languages, and they're all working in schools around here and, all over the coast, helping to deliver the Darug language.
Look, it's a beautiful team effort, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And we weren't content with just being able to go out and teach language. At that stage, we didn't have a dictionary, so I have a little company called Minga Aboriginal Cultural Services, and I met with the Australian National University and the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies, and they were able to give us a grant to help us, and they also provided a couple of linguists.
Yes.
Who were still studying, Romy Hill and Eleanor Ray Jorgensen, two young linguists who were able to assist us and still do assist us with any questions about our language. And we then, there was also a woman named Yuta Besalt who studied the five languages of the South Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did after her thesis was published is I went in and I plucked out all of the words that related to the Darug language.
Yeah.
And not only did we pluck out the words, we plucked out all the sources, like the names of the informants, the names of the people who recorded the information, and where you can access that information today. So we know that it is absolutely and totally authentic and valid.
Beautiful. So for such a feat, what's the timeline on it? How long did this take, Patricia?
The actual putting together of the dictionary has taken since about 2017, so it's been 3 or 4 years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
we did try to pull together dictionaries before that, but there were a few different ones floating around, and we needed to consolidate them so that everybody was talking the same language.
Yes, basically. Exactly.
And once we got everybody on the same page, then we could put it all into a dictionary. There are still some people who argue that, you know, this word should have gone in and that word should have gone in, and they know some different words. But that's the nature of it when you live in communities where all the Aboriginal people were herded on reserves and missions, and there were six or seven different languages spoken.
And different language from different tribal people across the table, it then gets confusing or gets mixed in with the other language from other tribal mob, yes?
Yep, exactly. And what we want is, like, all the other languages can do their own dictionaries.
Sure, exactly, yeah.
We wanted ours. We've gone with what's valid and what's authenticated, and as we get more information, that will grow.
It will. Look, it's a fantastic tool. It educates our young ones, keeps our languages alive, but also being in the curriculum or at the schools or having a dictionary, it can then educate our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well, yes?
Oh, absolutely. My sister Kerry teaches at St Bede's in Braidwood, and she teaches at Maria Public School. I teach language at Carroll College and at St Bernard.
Yes.
I taught language at TAFE for like the last 10, 11 years, but I'm normally a teacher. I teach adults. I've been working for TAFE for over 33 years,
yes,
both full-time and in a part-time capacity. I don't work for them anymore. I actually have my own company, but
good
I
on
have
you.
So many people who are requesting language courses, and so we're running them for adults at night.
Yes.
We're running them for on days that I'm not working at the schools, we're running them for people through the day. Like, every opportunity we get, we're running language courses because we want it out there. We want everybody.
And who are your clients? Are we talking non-Indigenous people as well as different mob?
No. Non-Indigenous people are taught in the schools.
Okay.
Like, all the children are taught, but adults are all Aboriginal.
Oh, beautiful. Lovely. And are they the Darugun people, are they?
They're Durga-speaking people, yes, or people who live in this community and have to work with families who are Durga speakers.
Yeah, beautiful, lovely. Look, congratulations there. Thank you very much for sharing, Patricia. All the best to your sister and your brother doing fantastic work there. And, you stay safe and we'll yarn soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there with Sister Patricia Ellis, and talking about the Darugul language revival bolstered by new dictionary. It's looked fantastic now, and they're sharing it with the mob, of course, but also in the curriculum at the schools as well, sharing it with their non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well. It's looked fantastic. To Delhi Mob, everyone, thank you very much for your company. Murray, going to sign off here. That Delhi number is 1-800-422-416, but call that number tomorrow because Murray will be back in the hot seat again tomorrow with your Delhi program, National Talk Black. Otherwise, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. It's still in the pandemic, mob, abide by the rules. Too deadly.